The Doctrine of Balaam is the title of today's message. We have two thoughts, Error 1 to 3a and Judgment 3b to 18. Solomon warned his son in Proverbs chapter 7. He says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thy eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discern among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With a flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it was for his life." Let God's word be precious in our life. We are precious in God's sight. God wants his people to find strength for life, and this is found in his word. Solomon has, and God's word has given many instructions to hold fast to his word. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:22, to this thought, he says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart." You see here in what Solomon gave an account for us, the victim, the young man, and the picture of the huntress, the woman who was with an impudent face. And from verse 13 to 21, we saw her tactics, what she does. And finally, the kill, right, the kill in the last two verses. Here is described for us the scene of action, how evil can befall a young man, how temptation comes upon us. And James says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. He shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." What do you mean by loving the Lord? Loving God is not something sentimental, but rather it means obedience to his commandments. If we love God, then we ought to obey his commandments. There is a commitment involved in love. Right? Love is not a word, right, that is just to be said, but a covenant. Right? And in the Bible, when God teaches us concerning His love, what in the New Testament we said it, agape love, the unconditional sacrificial love of God, what does it mean? It means that we are to follow God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so here is given to us the injunction to obey God and not fall into a grievous temptation. And James tells us, let no man say it when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Right? It's not God who tempts us with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brought forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, James says, my beloved brethren. Imagine the scene of a man watching a man falling prey to the evil one. The warning here speaks of the consequence of the fall. The way of the adulteress is spoken of as the way of death. It is the way of destruction. Look at the example of the suffering of this young man and learn from it so that we will not suffer likewise his calamities. So what are we to do? Well, we are not to forget his word. We are to flee youthful lust. We are not to forget her, God's warnings. Right? May God help his people. Israel fell into sin when the Moabite woman came into the camp of Israel to entice them to fornication and idolatry. William MacDonald observed well. He says, although Balaam's name is not mentioned in this chapter, we learn in Numbers 31 verse 16 that he was responsible for the terrible corruption of the children of Israel that is described here. All of Balak's rewards could not induce Balaam to curse Israel, but they finally did persuade him to corrupt Israel by causing some of the people to commit harlotry and idolatry with the woman of Moab. Often, when Satan cannot succeed in a direct attack, he will succeed in an indirect one. So Numbers 31 verse 16 tells us here, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam, right, the doctrine of Balaam, the teaching of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord. Right? What did they do when they committed whoredom? It was a trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Balaam's true character emerges here, is shown here. Up to this point, we might think of him as a godly prophet who was loyal to God's word and an admirer of the people of God. But here, you would see it, and likewise in 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16, we learn that he was a wicked apostate who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And Balaam asked Balak how to make the Israelites stumble. Get them to eat the sacrifices to idols and commit sexual immorality. Revelation 2 verse 14 was one of the warnings that the Lord Jesus gave to the church. His advice is given here, and in Revelation 2 verse 14 it is described, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, which taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Balaam was a false prophet motivated by fortune, as we see in Numbers 22 to 25, right, how he insisted on going with Balak and swindled, said, well, he said, what is that Money, money, money. Stuff that has a price tag. Material goods, tangible things, the desire to own, to possess, to amass wealth, to get rich, to get wealth, to look rich. The sin of greed. Let us be aware of this heinous sin in false teachers. A sin that Balaam failed to fight against, succumbed to it. He was a hireling. He was hired by the enemy to curse Israel, to say what they want him to say. Balaam was money hungry. Although Balaam did not succeed to curse Israel, as we saw last week, right? Three times they built three altars, and in those three altars, well, God overruled him. All the words that he said were God's words, not his own words. He counseled the Israelite men to take the Moabite woman in intermarriage. That caused Israel to fall. 24,000 died because they committed whoredom and idolatry. Balaam seduced God's people into idolatry and immorality. So our text tells us in verse 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. So we see here, as we consider what this doctrine of Balaam is, well, it happened in the church in Pergamos. One of the seven churches in Turkey, modern-day Turkey. This is one of the seven churches. And it was a church with a hand in the world, in that there was a group of ungodly men who crept into the church fellowship, and Jesus hated their inconsistent lives. What was that? Well, here it is said, the doctrine of Balaam. Likewise also, the church in Thyatira, right, that was full of love and service in ministry, but allows sin to fester and take root in the church. Immorality and idolatry were prevalent. Sin was eating up the church like a spreading cancer about to take her very life. It was a precarious situation because judgment was nigh. Both extremes are to be avoided. So here you see, on the one hand, they had a love for God, but on the other hand, there was all this immoral business that was going on. Okay? Revelation 2 verse 20 says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So here, we see here the warning to be vigilant and to be watchful. Right? And we see here that Jezebel, the prophetess, was allowed to teach. And this teaching was promoted a sensual lifestyle amongst the members, promoting immorality and idolatry, leading the people to sin. And this was very subtle. Unlike the church in Pergamos, where false doctrine came in covertly, the infiltrating of false teaching and sin was done overtly in an open manner that should not have been permitted. So you have a Kadistine one, right? But here, then here you see an open one, right? In those two churches, which our Lord Jesus was pointing out. Balaam attacked Israel from without, she from within. Jezebel was a stranger in Israel, and yet she was responsible for the worst idolatry in the nation. She persecuted the servants of God. And the name Jezebel is a symbolic of the wife of Ahab, the king of Israel, And how Ahab was a weak king, and how the Jezebel, the daughter of the Zidonians, brought in idolatry into Israel, and how Ahab was given in, and it was a great price that was paid for Israel. And you would see the judgment that came, verse 3b to 18, and the king, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Wow, what a grave sight we are speaking about. It says here, take the heads of the people and hang them before the Lord against the sun. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every man, every one his men that were joined to Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came out and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the congregation. And here we see a man by the name of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, who rose up among the congregation and took a javelin, and he did what was commanded of God to stop this evil in Israel. Here it is described, he thrust them through, the men of Israel and the woman, through her belly. What an awful sight. What judgment. And he went after the men in the tent. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died were 24,000. And here we see that Phinehas was commentator Samuel write out, said, a mouth of brass is singularly appropriate to him who was so unyieldingly faithful to God, and by his relentless judgment of sin secured an abiding priesthood for himself and his family. So he saw sin for what it is. He knew that God hates sin, and he knew that it would destroy Israel and its witness. And so he put a stop to it. And you see how the plague was coming, and God sent the plague. And Paul gave this example in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6. It says, now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. So the plague was stopped because of what Phinehas did. He was zealous for God, and the Lord decreed for him an everlasting priesthood. Verse 11. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. While he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore, say, behold, I give unto him a covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. So Phinehas did what he was moved by the Spirit of God to do, to take away evil from what we see as a deadly plague. You remember Israel was laying encamped very confidently. God was keeping them, and if they had not fell, well, God's protective hand continued to be upon them. But if they choose, that is why, you know, when we come to know God, we become a child of God, right? By the blood of Christ, we are freed from the bondage of sin. And being freed from the bondage of sin, we can choose not to sin. And that is why Solomon gives his advice, command to us, right, to his son, to say that we are to be very vigilant. Right? Why? Why is it so important? Because sin doth corrupt, and sin doth kill. There are grave consequences. Right? So, verse 14. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with a Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of the chief among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cosbi, the daughter of Zer. He was head over a people and of the chief house in Midian. So here you see they seem to be, they both are very reputable, are from very reputable families. Right? Both are from very reputable and very of high standing. Right? And by human standards, we say that this is a good pairing, isn't it? Both look good. Right? They were both they both had great authority and great influence in their own sphere of society. Both were very they were the who's who. Should we then give them the right hand of fellowship? Well, here is said to us that we have to be very careful, right? Very careful. Right? So it's described for us here in verse 14 and 15 what took place. And God commanded Moses, stop this. Evil. And verse 16, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles. So what is happening now is that God commanded that this evil must be stopped, because if this evil is not stopped, then they will continue to assert their evil influence upon the children of Israel. Right? You remember each time when there were some problems that came to the children of Israel, the incitement were always from outside. Remember when they started murmuring, what happened? It was a mixed multitude. Who are the mixed multitude? Well, the Egyptians who followed the Israelites out, those were the mixed multitudes. They were there and they began the murmuring first. And it began to infect the people of God. And so we have to be very careful. And here we have to see and realize how infectious these things are. Evil is. And so we say Zimri, William MacDonald observed, he says, Zimri's position of prominence in his tribe and the fact that the woman was a daughter of the Midianite chief might have stopped the judges from executing judgment upon him, but it did not stop Phinehas. he was zealous for the Lord. The Lord ordered Moses to war against the Midianites, who were mingled with the Moabites at that time. And this command was carried out in chapter 31, which we shall see. So, Matthew Henry observed, he says, "Never was vice more daring than it was in Zimri, a prince of a chief house in the tribe of Simeon." So you see that this is something that you would not expect, right? You would not expect from a chief tribe or a prominent tribe and a prominent family, but this happened. Such a degree of imprudence in wickedness that he arrived at, that he publicly appeared leading a Midianitish harlot. So it was an open sin, right? And a harlot of quality too, like himself, a daughter of the chief of the house of Midian in the sight of Moses and all the good people of Israel. He did not think it enough to go out with his harlot to worship the gods of Moab, but when he had done that, he brought her with him to dishonor the God of Israel. This was what they did. Right into the camp of Israel, they have the, you see, sin blinds us. Right? When we are caught up with this sin, right, it causes us to be so, deceived and so blinded and so enticed and fallen that we cannot see the evil. And this happened for the people of Israel right before they entered the promised land. It is recorded for us to help us to see the power of the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. How he's able to cause much havoc by this that took place. And so here we see that he not only own her publicly as his friend and higher in his favor than any of the daughters of Israel, but openly went with her into the tent. So she said that, "Oh, this Midianitish woman is better than all the Israelite women." Can we understand what we are speaking about here? We are speaking about a marriage that is out of the will of God. It was light against darkness, and it was a marriage that God did not approve. It was a relationship that God did not approve. And yet, it was not only been condoned. It seemed that none of the people in the tribe of Simeon stopped him, did anything. So this must have gone on for some time already before he even dared to, you know, openly do this. So here is described for us, right, the evil of the sin that took place, how it, Matthew Henry calls it, exceeding shameful. So here it was an affront to the justice of the nation, and the judges that ordered to put the criminals to death were ordered to put the criminals to death, but he thought himself too great for them to meddle with, Matthew Henry says. Right? And so here we see and we observed how Moses and the main body of the congregation kept their integrity. They were weeping at the door of the tabernacle, lamenting the sin committed and deprecating the plague that began. So there was a sanctifying fast that took place, a solemn assembly, the weeping that took place as the wrath of God passed and is turned away from the congregation because of what Phinehas did. Right. And so here, Matthew Henry further said, well, he says, never was virtue more daring than it was in Phinehas. Being aware of the indolence of Zimri, which it is more probable, all the congregation take notice of, in a holy anger, indignation at the offenders, he rises from his prayers and takes his sword and follows those impudent sinners into their tent and stab them both. Well, here we notice that indeed the people of God must see evil for what evil is. But in Israel at that time, evil was not dealt with. It was allowed to manifest itself, and it was allowed to infect, right? And it allowed to cause grief among the people. And so here, as you observe and you think, as we look at what has happened, we would see how the wrath of God was turned away because sin was dealt with. Because sin was dealt with. Just as the church in Pergamos, where all this things happen, the Lord wants us to understand, right, that the error that took place, the counsel of Balaam hasn't disappeared today. The ways of Balaam hasn't disappeared. It continued to manifest itself, right? And Jesus himself warned the church that we are to be very, very vigilant, very watchful against such infiltrations. Malachi 2 verse 5 says, my covenant is with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. All who would choose to do right, to hate evil, right? The fear of God is to hate evil and to do the right thing, right? To take away what should not have been. And this you would see taking place in Israel. And you see Moses hearkening to the voice of God to vex the Midianites. Why? Because the Lord said, for they vex you with their vows, wherewith they have beguiled you. They have beguiled you. Right. So they were deceived. They were deceived. How could it happen? Well, it may have come very subtly into Israel, but the people were seemed not on their guard. Right? You would have thought, right, that God has already made it so clear that they would have nothing to do with all this, cross marriage, intermarriage, but it's a precursor. They haven't entered the promised land yet. They were just at the brink of the promised land. And yet, you would see the Lord allowing this lesson to be learned. And the Lord, you see, does teach us and warn us before trouble comes. And if you would take heed, then we would be protected, isn't it? Israel, when they enter the promised land, the enemy would be on every side. But they would have to be very vigilant. They would have to be very watchful. And we thank the Lord that He gave to us His word to warn us. In particular, today we learn the doctrine of Balaam. May the Lord help us to see evil for what it is and to take steps to protect ourselves and our family from the attack of the evil one, and lead us not into temptation. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy Spirit to take heed to Thy word. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.